Y'all remain standing. As we read from the Word of God, John chapter 21, we're carrying on from last week, verse 20. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to the things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears as you speak to us today. May we receive those words and put them into action in our lives. May the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. Man, that was good. You ever stuck your nose somewhere it didn't need to be? So, I guess y'all heard about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, or I don't know if she's a princess now or whatever she is, had their new baby. Y'all hear about that? Guess y'all have heard all the latest news. Hey, what is it about everybody else's life that just intrigues us to where we have to be in the middle of it? I don't care who the bachelor's going to hook up with. I do like the Voice. All the drama that goes on there. That's pretty cool. One of these days, I think there's going to be an all-out war. And Blake will take... what's his name? Adam. Blake's bigger. So our scripture text today is kind of going along with our intrigue and interest in everybody else's life. Peter was walking along with Jesus. We talked about this last week. They're walking along the beach, and Jesus is giving him his charge and telling him, "This is what you're going to be doing." And so, as they're walking along, Peter gets distracted and notices that it's not just him and Jesus walking, but John's following along pretty close. Peter decides that it's important to know what John is doing and what he's going to be doing. And so he asks Jesus, you know, "Well, what about him?" And the scripture puts it this way: if I want him to be here when I come back, so be it. What is that to you? Well, see, in East Texas, we have a different way of saying that. Are you ready? None ya. It's none of your business what's going on with him. You see, Peter had become distracted, and he was comparing, and he several times throughout Scripture compared himself to John. The problem is that comparing ourselves with others is detrimental to our walk. And for Peter, he had been comparing for so long, it became a competition. It was a competition between him and John, whether John was in on it or not. As far as Peter was concerned, it was a competition. They got into a discussion about who was going to be sitting next to Jesus. So I wanted to look at the downfalls of comparing. Because we do it, right? We're always comparing. We compare ourselves. We compare our kids. Our children compare themselves because they see mom and dad comparing. And it's a downward spiral. My dad can beat up your dad. My son can hit a baseball further than your son. My daughter's a better cheerleader than you are. We're always comparing because we think that it's important that we compare things in our lives. And we even compare our walks. See, we're no different than Peter was because we look around us and we see someone over here and we immediately go into that defensive comparing. So here's the thing. Comparing isn't up to us. You know, we always look at another Christian or someone else and we think, okay, they've got an easier ministry to do than I did. How come Stan got put on nominations? Because they only meet once a year. And I got stuck on trustees that meets once a month and we have to deal with everybody's dropping and complaining. You see, we constantly compare our ministries and our walk with others. Here's the thing. We need to rely more on God's opinion of us than we need to somebody else's. You see, Peter was, well, I wonder what John's thinking back there. I wonder what he's hearing of this conversation. Jesus, we need to talk a little bit lower so John don't catch on to this. What difference does it make? You see, you are a unique person. Peter had a unique thing about him. We talked a little bit about it last week. You see, John was great with words. I mean, when you read the book of John, or you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, or you read the book of Revelation, John's speech is just eloquent. Look at Paul. I mean, Paul was a well-educated Pharisee. And he had a special thing that he did. So Peter was immediately kind of put down. Well, I can't write like him. I can't talk like him. I can't do the things that Paul does. That's right. And that's why I chose you for this particular area. You see, we are fearlessly and uniquely made. God created us a particular way. And so comparing ourselves to someone else is a waste of time because that person over there doesn't have the gifts that you have, and this one over here, you don't have the same gifts that they have. So quit worrying about what they're doing or how they're living their lives. You need to focus more on yours. Comparing ourselves to other Christians can be exhausting too. Is their journey better than mine? I've had a rough walk. It has been so hard. I have come across more valleys and deeper valleys than the Grand Canyon. But so-and-so over there, oh, they're walking on the mountaintop. Life is good. They haven't had to deal with any issues or disasters or hurtful things in their lives. And it wears you down. God knows what we can handle. God knows what we can take. Maybe God chose Peter to build his church on because he knew that Peter had the stability to deal with those issues. Peter was really big on Jewish tradition and Jewish law. Where Paul was more interested in winning souls of the Gentiles than he was of the Jews. When we compare our Christian walk with other Christians, it can be dangerous. Because then we start looking at their faults and comparing them to our faults and saying, well, that sin I did last night isn't worse than what Lance did last night. It's dangerous because it pits us against each other. It also causes us to worry about what others think of us. My dad had this philosophy. My dad was a deacon in the Baptist church for over 30 years. And I remember sitting in one of the pews many times and watching him sitting on the front row while this young whippersnapper would stand right there in front of all the deacons. And they would drill that poor guy. They would wear him out on his theology. They would wear him out on his doctrine. And they would wear him out on everything. So when it came time for me to go before the Board of Ordained Ministry, I needed some encouragement. So I called my dad on the phone. I said, all right, Dad, I watched you rip these young preachers to pieces for years. What advice do you have for me? Daddy's advice was tell the truth. The truth will set you free. He said, smile no matter how bad they're tearing into you. Smile. Because you've got God on your side. He said, but above all, remember this. It doesn't matter what you say, you're not going to please them with your answers. So focus on this. Don't be distracted by their looks, their questions, but focus on the fact that you need to please the one you will stand before at the judgment. That's the one you're concerned with. Jesus was telling Peter, don't worry about what John thinks or what the other disciples are doing. You stay focused on pleasing God and doing what God has called you to do. Comparing our Christian walk to others is selfish. Who are we trying to please? Are we trying to please God with our walk? Are we trying to please someone else? Or are we trying to please ourselves? You see, Peter had this issue of worrying about what others thought. Peter had this worry about where he fit in the chain of command. Peter had a problem with being distracted and comparing himself to others. Do you? Do we have that problem of comparing? I mean, in the real world, we do. We compare what we wear and how much money we make and what kind of car we drive and the house that we live in. I was comparing myself to Joe Pickens the other day. I want a truck like Joe Pickens. Huh? Yeah, homeboy ain't got no money. But we do, we compare ourselves all the time and we worry about what John's thinking back here when Jesus is talking to us and we get distracted and we ask, okay, so if you're going to call me to do this, what are you going to tell them to do? Is the task that you're putting me in, is the place that you're dragging me out of my comfort zone to place me in? Is my Christian walk going to be harder than Larry's? It might. But why are you worried about that? You need to be worried about what I think and where I'm leading you. Made a comment or talked a little bit last week about my call to ministry. And I was so worried about what everybody was going to think of me, especially the guys that I worked with, because I wasn't quite the same person at work as I was everywhere else. I was a little bit different. And I was worried about what they were going to think. Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. Worry about what God thinks. Worry about the direction God is calling you. Worry about your relationship with Jesus. And everybody else that's around you that you're wondering about, remember this. As Jesus put it, what is that to you? Or, as rednecks like to put it, none of you? It's none of your business. They've got their own task, their own journey, their own walk, their own uniqueness. And your journey is here. So in the coming weeks, in the coming days, in the coming months, as we prepare to do things a little different, don't worry about what the Presbyterian Church is doing or the Baptist Church is doing or any of the others. Because this church has a unique ability. And God has called us to a unique ministry. And what all these other churches are doing is none of our business. What we need to do is focus on us. In your personal walk, the same holds true. Don't worry about what the person next to you has got going on, unless they ask you to help. But be focused on where God is calling you in your walk and in your growth as a Christian. Because you are uniquely and fearfully made. Kind of like a painting. No two strokes are the same. Is that right, Celine? But when those different strokes come together, they create something beautiful. Be that creative stroke on God's canvas. And don't worry about which direction the other strokes are going. Let's pray. Gracious God, Holy Father, we too often get distracted with what's going on around us and what everybody else is doing and comparing ourselves to them and comparing our walk and our ministry and all of those things that are there. That we don't hear you speaking to us. Remind us that what's going on over there has nothing to do with what's going on here. And that you have a unique place that you want us to be. Father, we ask that we give you all the glory and all of the control of our lives. That we might be everything you want us to be. And as you lead and direct us, help us to be the best that we can be. Help us to share our lives with others that they might be able to see you in us and might have a relationship with you. We pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen.